It's Sierra, and I'm here with another episode of Haunting True Crime Podcast. And in this episode, we're going to talk about the lost colony of Roanoke. And if you don't know what that is, it was the first attempt to colonize America before it was actually America. All of the settlers disappeared. No one knows where they went. But to explain this story the way I want to explain it and give you all the details, I'm going to start from before they even came over here to this land. So in 1578, Queen Elizabeth I tasked Sir Humphrey Gilbert to sail to the New World and explore land that wasn't claimed by Spain or France. On his first excursion or voyage, whatever you want to call it, he found multiple suitable locations for permanent settlements that he thought would be successful. On his second voyage, his ship had actually been lost in a shipwreck and he died. And so then his half-brother, Walter Raleigh, took over his expeditions, and on his second voyage to the New World, John White was with him. John White is an important person. Remember him for later. So they kind of go on some different explorations of this new world. And in 1585, they make landfall with troops, and their job was to set up a fort. So they make contact with the natives, and originally the relations, you know, like their day-to-day relations with the tribes were good. They were fine. And then there were representatives from the Roanoke and the Croatone tribes that sailed back to England with John White. And their English names were later decided to be Manteo or Manio, I think is how you pronounce it. I'm going to say Manteo because I want to pronounce it that way. And I think it's pronounced Juan Cheese or Juan Chez, something like that. Manteo was from the Croatone tribe, and Juan Cheese was from the Roanoke tribe. And so while they're off in England doing their thing, Ralph Lane was left in charge of these troops that were building this fort, and he wanted to be a little dick and ruin everything with the Native Americans. And he led two separate attacks on their villages within 1 month's time. He ended up killing Chief Wengina, I think is how you say his name. And it was an attempt to keep the natives from rising up against the English, because I guess he thought that these Native Americans should just bow to bended knee and kiss his shoes and whatever he thought was supposed to happen, and they didn't. So he thought in his mind, like, oh, they're plotting against me, I better squash this rebellion. And then he was dumb and ruined everything. So then after this, their fort was under constant attack from the natives, because obviously he pissed them off. He killed their chief. They're going to want to get back with them. So they're under constant attack. And then later on, Sir Francis Drake had passed by on one of his explorations, and the men in the fort had rushed to the ship so they could be saved. And they were in such a haste to get to this ship that three men got left behind. The three men had been on some kind of an expedition into the woods to find supplies or something, and they got left behind. Well, then when more British troops had arrived later in the year, those three men were gone. Like, there was no sign of them, and the fort was completely abandoned. So Richard Grenville, who was in charge of the first expedition to have the troops set up a fort and everything, he decided to leave 15 men behind to guard the remains of the fort. And he gave them 2 years worth of provisions, supplies, stuff like that. And then he turned tail and hopped back on a boat and went back to England. You know, really stand-up guy, if you ask me. And then 2 years later, in 1587, John White, the guy I told you to remember from earlier that was on the expedition with Walter Raleigh, he came back to settle a colony in the New World. Well, they had originally supposed to make a pit stop on Roanoke Island to pick up those 15 men that were left there to guard that fort. And when they got there, the only sign of those 15 men were there were signs of a massacre that had taken place at the fort. They didn't find the men. Like, none of them were alive. And so everyone was kind of, like, sketched out, because these 15 men got murdered. by these local tribes. So it wasn't the best start. They were originally headed to Chesapeake Bay, where later on Jamestown, the first successful American colony, was actually founded. Roanoke was only supposed to be like a pit stop, you know, and they were only supposed to stop there, pick up those 15 men and any supplies that they still had left over, and then go on up to Chesapeake Bay and set up a permanent colony. Well, Simon Fernandez, who was the captain of the ship, refused to sail any further north. He's like, no, get your stuff, get off my ship, I'm not going up there, you're setting up shop here. So they were forced to offload all of their belongings and just try to make it work on Roanoke Island. So 115 colonists, mainly men, I think there was like 87 men, 17 women, and I think 9 children, I believe. Don't exactly quote me, but there was roughly 115 settlers. And they all were forced to just live here where this remains of this fort was. And then only 9 days after they had landed and started to set up camp and everything, a colonist named George Howe was killed by natives while he was crab fishing along the shore. John White had tried to repair the relationships with the natives and had the original representative of their tribe, the Croatoan tribe, named Manteo or Manio, and he had them try to patch things up with, like, Manteo being their, I guess you could say, common ground or something like that. And then, unfortunately, when Chesse, the other representative, became opposed to the British colonizing the New World, and he saw them as an invading force, and he didn't really like it very much, so he was actually rumored to have participated in the attack on the 15 men that were left to guard the fort. So, that's a little, you know, a little scary. And then, eventually, the Croatoan people had become friendly with the settlers again, and John White's granddaughter, Virginia Dare, was actually born. And she was the very first child to have ever been born in the New World, you know, of English descent. And so this was like a big deal, right? But they soon ran into problems because they had arrived in August, some say July, some say August, but they had arrived too late in the year to plant any crops. So they were going to run out of food. So John White was like, hey, I got this. I'm going to go sail back to England and I'm going to go beg the Queen for more support so we can get some food and supplies, and I'll be back as soon as I can. So 1 month after they arrived, he sails back to England. When he gets to England, he finds out that they have become involved in a war with Spain, and every single ship was called to help fight the Spanish naval armada. So there was no spare ship to take him back to America, and if there was, it probably would have been sank because, you know, naval war. So eventually, by the time that it was safe for him to go back to America, 3 years had passed. So the year is 1590. So once he gets back, he, you know, from a distance, he sees the fort still standing and there's still homes and he has hope. But then he gets closer to the shore and sees, like, no smoke from fires and he doesn't see people. There's no sign of life. And he starts getting really, really scared. Okay. So then he gets in this rowboat to get off the ship because they can't just pull this giant old ship up to the shore, you know. So he gets in a rowboat and comes up on land. And he finds that the fort was completely overgrown with weeds. There were guns and farming equipment that were just all over the ground. You know, like, they'd just been left there. And then I guess there were chests that were filled with valuables and buried, something like that. But they were dug up and broken open, and all of the valuables of the colonists were just laid out on the ground. And there was all kinds of jewelry and different stuff just laying on the ground. And there were a few homes that had actually been dismantled. They were, like, taken down. So before he had left, he told his colonists to carve a cross into a tree in the case of an emergency. But instead, he found the letters C-R-O carved into a tree and the word Croatoan carved into the fence post of the fort. He believed they were forced to abandon the island and move to Hatteras or Hatteras. I'm going to say Hatteras. They were forced to abandon the island and move to Hatteras Island, then known as Croatoan Island. And then there was a bad storm that broke out and he wasn't able to make it to Croton Island to search for his family. Well, some say he tried multiple times to go to Croton Island. Some say he only tried once. He tried at least once to find his family, but the ship that he was on was privately owned. So all of these new settlers and supplies and everything that he had tried to bring back to this colony, all the settlers were like, nope, we're done here. I ain't doing this. This is crazy. These people probably got killed. I want to go back home. And so he had no control over the ship, so he was forced to return to England with them because one man couldn't live there by himself. You know, he'd go crazy. So he hops on the ship and he begrudgingly goes back home and then moves to Ireland and dies 3 years later, never knowing what happened to his family. So, I mean, it's really sad that this man, his wife, his daughter, his son-in-law, and his new granddaughter had died for all he knew. And he never knew what happened to them. And it's really sad. But now we're going to move on. I've seen two different years reported. I've seen 2013 and I've seen 2015. But both reports say that there was an archaeological expedition to Hatteras Island. And it turned up a rapier, which is like a fancy English sword. A barrel of a gun. Lead shot. Scraps of copper. And a piece of slate with a lead pencil. So, you know, this is supposed to be evidence of European influence because obviously Native Americans didn't have this stuff until there was like a European influence on their tribes and things. So now I guess we're going to get into the theories of what might have happened to these people. One of the ones I think, there's two of them that I think are very plausible. And the first one and the second one kind of feed into each other if you think about it. So the first one I'm going to tell you is supposedly Chief Powhatan had the settlers killed. And he, I guess, confessed this to John Smith. Yes, John Smith, like Pocahontas John Smith. He confessed to John Smith that he had had them killed because they were aligned with a rival tribe. And then according to the town secretary, the guy that wrote down all the history and all the happenings and everything, he had also claimed that Powhatan had some of the settlers' possessions, you know, with him, like he could see them. So that's a little weird. And then to go along with this theory, they found what they call the Dare Stone. On one side of the Dare Stone, it says, Ananias Dare and Virginia went to heaven 1591. And if you remember back far enough, which wasn't very far, so I don't know why I'm talking to you like that, but if you remember back, Virginia Dare was John White's granddaughter, and her father's name was Ananias, and Eleanor, John's daughter, was her mother. So according to this stone, Ananias and Virginia had died in 1591, which is after John White had returned to the New World. All right, so then the other side of the Dare Stone is when this gets really interesting. On the other side, it says, Father, soon after you go for England, we came here. Only misery and war for 2 years. Above half dead these 2 years, more from sickness being 24. A savage with a message of a ship came to us. Within a small space of time, they became frightened of revenge and ran all away. We believe it was not you. Soon after, the savages said spirits were angry. Suddenly they murdered all save seven. My child and Ananias too were slain with much misery. Buried all near 4 miles east of this river upon a small hill. Names were written all there on a rock. Put this there also. If a savage shows this to you, we promised you we would give them great plenty presents. EWD, Eleanor White Dare, right? That's who is believed to have written this stone. So then after this was discovered, there was a bounty put out for anyone that could find another Dare stone because they, like, Eleanor White Dare, she was one of the settlers from Roanoke, disappeared. Like, we might have cracked the code. So they were like, if you can find any more, we'll pay you. So then a whole bunch more were discovered But they were probably fake because obviously people wanted that money. So now we come to the second theory that I said also kind of feeds into the first. The settlers were absorbed into a nearby friendly tribe. Now, if you think about it, one single Native American tribe could not accommodate all 115. So if what was written on the Dare Stone was true, like a sickness could have killed a whole bunch of people because there's new bacteria, there's new microbes, different, you know, microorganisms that they probably haven't been exposed to because this is a brand new world. And they could have gotten sick and died because their immune systems weren't up to snuff, right? So let's say some of them died. Well, then they can't survive with just a small amount of people. So they team up with the Croatoan Native Americans on Croatoan Island, which is now Hatteras, and they learn to live with them. Well, if you want to feed back into this first theory, they become scared of angry spirits and murders everybody. Well, then there's 7 people left. Well, they're all going to die out pretty soon. So it's possible that both of these theories are correct. The most commonly believed theory is that they just moved, I guess you could say moved in with another friendly tribe. I feel like they would have had to have split up and gone with multiple tribes because there was not enough of the tribe to support 115 people. So if all 115 survived, then they would have had to have split up. Now, if some of them died from disease or starvation, then that would be a little bit more plausible for them to go with one tribe. You know what I mean? That one's more obviously plausible. They just get kind of... The last two are absolutely crazy, but I thought I should throw them in there just to have some fun. But then the next theory is that they had suffered through cannibalism. Now, if you think about it, John White was only supposed to be gone for a few months, right? And they were like, okay, well, he's going to be back in a few months and we don't really have to conserve these supplies, so we're just going to burn through them like nothing. And they go through all their supplies and they realize, oh, John's not coming back. Maybe we should have saved those, you know? Well, then what are we going to do? We're going to eat each other, I guess. So, I mean, this one's plausible. Like, they could have eaten each other. Because if you think about it, like, even the Donner Party, right? They tried to cross the Rocky Mountains in the wrong time of the year. They get stuck up there, and they have to eat everybody that dies. Poor Donner Party. Like, they just... I know that sounds kind of cruel, but I kind of support them for just trying to live, because no one wants to just lay down and die unless they have problems. They never found bodies or bones or any kind of things like that that would suggest that they were... you know, killed or anything like that. So cannibalism kind of makes sense. They eat the people, throw the bones in the ocean. You're never going to find bones in the ocean. So yeah, but okay. Before we move on, to feed into the cannibalism idea, there are people who know how to read the tree rings. You know, like if you cut a tree in half, there's like rings inside the wood. And there's people that know how to read those rings. Not me, but I guess in that area, there was a really bad drought around the time that John White was gone. So these people wouldn't have been able to grow crops or anything like that because they don't have a lot of experience farming because they're from England. Most of them probably from cities. And, you know, they probably didn't know how to grow things, or they couldn't grow things in a drought because they can't just go throw ocean water on them because it's salt water. So if their crops would have failed, then they might have had to resort to cannibalism. I don't know. Not the most crazy theory in this case. So then another theory was that the colonists were murdered. They were massacred by an unfriendly tribe, which this one is kind of unsubstantiated because there was no bodies. And if they would have been massacred when John White had come back for them, he would have found bodies and bones and all kinds of stuff just everywhere. You know, these Native Americans wouldn't have taken the time to clean up their bodies. So it's highly unlikely that they had been massacred, because I really don't, like I said, it's really unlikely that these Native Americans took the time to clean up their bodies and this, that, and the other, because when the guards of the fort were massacred, it was very obvious that they were massacred. Like, everyone that landed on Roanoke Island could tell. Now, John White looks around for these people and didn't find any bones, no bodies, no signs of them being murdered. So this one is kind of more outlandish, I guess you could say, but not the most outlandish. And then the last sensible theory is that the colonists had moved inland. So the reason this is a popular theory is that, I guess, on the map that John White had made of the area, there's a little patch. Now, patches were pretty normal back then because these were very detailed maps, and you couldn't just start over if you made a mistake. So they would make a little patch that goes on top of the mistake or to cover up something, you know, right? So then, I guess, I think it's the British Museum, had re-examined his map of the area and found that there was a patch on his map. And under the patch, there's like a star-shaped, it's like a four-pointed star-shaped symbol. And they thought that it could be the sign of like a fortification, like a fort. And then they had realized that on top of the patch, it could be either that the ink had faded away over time, or it was an invisible ink, you know, like some national treasure business. But the symbol was drawn in another kind of ink on top of the patch. So they thought that maybe he was trying to hide the location of the colonists because they were spies in the English court or something like that. I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, yeah, he put that star there for a reason, and what was it there for? And I guess in that area they had excavated and found signs of European life, where there was a piece of ceramic discontinued after the settlement of Jamestown up in Chesapeake Bay. So, I mean, I guess there's a possibility that they moved inland. I mean, I personally believe that there was probably like a disagreement amongst the colonists, where some people wanted to move inland and some people were like, no, let's just go over here to Croatoan Island and team up with these guys and they'll help take care of us and they'll teach us how to live here and all be great. And then some people were like, no, we need to go, we need to build a fort, and we're going to take the wood from these houses, and we're going to make a fort. So I think that they kind of split up. That's my personal theory. It's my personal theory. And now, here's for the absolute crazy theories. You ready for this? Hold on to your butts. Zombies. All right, now I know what you're saying. Like, this is stupid. Why are we even talking about this? I want to simply lay out all of the possibilities, no matter how impossible they sound. So some people believe that there was a zombie virus. I think this is absolutely untrue, but I'm here to give you all the details. They believe that there had been like a zombie virus that had caused the colonists to eat each other, basically. You know, just like a zombie virus. There's no other substantiated evidence other than you can't find them, so what happened to them? I guess there were signs of cannibalism, so then they automatically jumped to, oh my god, zombies. But we can't just think about, hey, these people were starving, they probably ate dead people, you know? That seems more plausible than a zombie apocalypse. And plus, if there was a zombie apocalypse on Roanoke Island, how did it not spread? Because Roanoke Island is currently populated by two different cities. I mean, there's multiple towns on this island, but the two biggest ones are Manteo and Juanchez. Literally, there's towns on this island. You're telling me that people can live on this island and not be zombies, but these people near the end of the 16th century were zombies? No, not possible. Moving on. The next theory, a little less outlandish, but still crazy. Aliens. Yep, you heard me. Alien abduction. Now, as any good conspiracy theorist, I personally believe they are aliens. Now, do I think they're coming and snatching people up left and right, like everyone in like the National Enquirer is leading you to believe? No. No, I don't think people are being abducted by aliens all the time, but I think it's really unlikely that there are no other intelligent life forms in this gigantic universe of ours. There are multiple galaxies, multiple planets, and everyone's like, oh, no human life form can survive. Aliens aren't human, are they? Boom, mind blown. But no, I believe there are aliens out there somewhere, whether they're little green men in spaceships. I don't really think about that. No, not really likely to me. But technically, an alien could just be a plant living on some planet somewhere because it's an alien life form, because it's not a human, even a plant on some random planet in this entire universe could technically be an alien because it's not a life form from Earth, so it is alien to us. Mic drop. Just kidding. No, some people think that the colonists were abducted by aliens. I mean, like I said, not very likely in my opinion, because why would aliens want 115 random ass people? Why? And they're mostly men, so it's not like they could like repopulate the alien population with men. I mean, unless they're a non-binary people. I don't know. Never thought of it that way. But like I said, I don't really see a reason why aliens would want the humans. So I don't really think so. I think that's about it for my theories though. Like I said, my personal theory, they split up. Some of them went with the Native Americans. Some of them went to the fort inland. Either way, they all pretty much died. And honestly, if we really want to blame somebody, let's blame that ship captain. What was his name again? Simon Fernandez. Let's blame him. This is all his fault because his little lazy butt wouldn't sail up north the Chesapeake. And because of him, all these people died. I blame Simon Fernandez. If he just would have sailed north Chesapeake, they could have been successful and we never would have had this story. Because Jamestown was landed there and they did pretty much just fine. I mean, they had a really, really harsh first couple years. But they made it. They were the first permanent English colony in the New World. It's all Simon Fernandez's fault. Well, that's all I got for you. Hopefully you enjoyed yourself. This one's a little bit different than what I've been doing. But I'm thinking more true crime murderer things for the next episode. So stay tuned for that. And I'll see you guys next episode. Bye.